And I had the thought today because of a friend posting on the social needs. All of the shirts you got for free in college are cotton or cotton blend, for sure.
Okay.
So, in theory, like, you can make masks if you want to cut out shirts that you clearly have extras of. Like, I literally at my parents' house have a box of random ass shirts that I collected from going to like a monthly event that gave you a t-shirt in college. So I could, in theory, make masks out of all of those, and I just need to sit down and do it. But the fabric and the materials are already like within reach.
There you go. Yeah, I reached out to someone who's selling them on Instagram because she has a cow print one, and I was like, that's it.
Adorable.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I'm thinking I definitely have some extra t-shirts here in my apartment. And this weekend is Easter, so I'm trying to figure out with my family what we're gonna do. Like, I'm gonna come home. My mom today was like, that would be breaking quarantine. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but I want ham. And so, depending on what happens and what goes on, my expectation right now is that I'll get a shipment of like chocolate leftovers and t-shirts that I'll make masks out of. Hooray.
Proud of
And
you.
they will be poorly sewn, but they will be hand sewn with love.
There you go. I'm sure they'll be beautiful.
They'll be made out of old 85 t-shirts for sure. Ah, I gotta get her on the. I wonder, because the like screen printing is plastic, so it wouldn't be as breathable. Which is why you're seeing everybody with like nice fabric patterns. But I wonder how usable and safe those would be, because that would make them more fun. I'll look it up and see what I can do. That would be more fun. And then because I went out today and I was not wearing a mask, as the CDC tells you to. And I was actually, it was probably 50-50, which made me feel good. The older folks I saw were all in them, which is good.
Yeah, I usually don't wear it if I'm like out walking the dog because I'm like, I want fresh air. That's not from a fucking mask. And like, I live right next to a park.
Right. That was kind of my thought process of like, I'm not going to get close to anybody. I'm going to cross the street and go on a walk. The like, not the lakefront trail itself, but the path that runs parallel to the lakefront path was so busy. Like, it still goes up towards the lake and goes towards the Diversey Harbor. So it's kind of lakefronty, and it was so busy.
Damn.
They had helicopters flying above so they could tell if you were on lakefront trail.
Wow.
Like, crazy shit.
Well, as much as I love talking about coronavirus, I kind of want to get this
Rona.
cranked out, so.
Let's get this cranked out. Let's crank this baby out.
Beautiful.
All right. And hello.
Hello. Welcome to the 50 Worst Dates podcast.
Oh, we've remembered to say it this week. I'm Katie.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is our show.
Ooh, we are your hosts on this beautiful journey today. Quarantine podcasting. Ooh, with some wine ASMR.
Ooh,
It sounds like a
some
wine.
wine.
Imagine that you're in a tropical island.
You know, my happy place I've decided right now, my like post-Rona happy place that I'm gonna go to immediately is drag queen brunch.
There you go.
Imagine that a 6'6" drag queen in hooker heels is pouring you a heavy champagne mimosa, and you are throwing dollar bills into their cleavage. What a sight. What a smell.
While eating
You're
your
eating eggs
breakfast.
Benedict. You're popping open that egg. It's gooey all over things in a way you didn't expect to be gooey on this Sunday brunch. Ew. I don't know where that was going. But yeah, I just really want to go to
It was
drag
like
brunch.
fan fiction for drag brunch.
I and then they kiss.
Gross.
Yeah, basically. I'll write fanfic for drag brunch. I fucking love it. One of my favorite drag brunches is literally it's one queen does the whole thing. So it's just waiters and it's brunch and it's brunch. And then there's one drag queen that keeps performing in different outfits.
Beautiful.
It's great.
Well, what is it that we're talking about today, Katie?
We are talking about taboos. Tattoos? Taboos. Taboos. Which I learned researching, much like tattoo, is a Pacific Islander word.
Hmm.
This has a Pacific Island origin.
Makes sense.
Which is why it's similar to tattoo, which also comes from Maori language.
Maori? You mean Maori?
Yeah. Okay, what do you mean look bad? Fine.
the native New Zealand.
The folks of native New Zealand.
Or, I guess, Pacific Islanders, but...
Pacific Island. Yeah, so they're related. Fun fact. Fun fact. But we're talking about dating taboos. Like,
for that,
we've talked about
for
like
the 1% of our listeners who are from New Zealand, you're welcome.
Yeah, there we see that you're there. So, like, who makes the first move? Do you shave your legs? Do girls poop? I saw a tweet today that was like, rip to all the girls that decided to quarantine with their brand new boyfriend and are on day 21 of pretending that they don't poop. Fact. And, like, yeah, so we're just going to cover, like, there's a bunch of things that you're not supposed to talk about, you're not really supposed to mention. And that's fucking stupid. We're leaving that in 2019 because we do not have time, energy, or, like, mental capacity to not be upfront and honest with people.
Cue Ricky Thompson and their pan that they do. Do you know who Ricky Thompson is on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're talking about dating taboos, however you want to fucking pronounce it. I don't care. I, Amanda, was in the shower shaving my legs, and I don't know how to spell when I typed all this shit out, but basically I sliced off a part of my knee. Not really. I just cut it open. And I said, why the fuck am I shaving above the knee anyway? Why the fuck are women even supposed to shave? Fuck razors, fuck men,
only,
fuck the patriarchy.
Only strippers shave above the knee. True fact, other sidebar, the two people in my life who have told me that only strippers shave above the knee or to not shave above my knee are my own goddamn mother and Linda Belcher from Amazing. Bob's Burgers. Only strippers shave above the knee.
Amazing. So, I thought that this would make a great topic because, especially for women, there are so many goddamn dating taboos and... I mean, from, like, who makes the first move to how many texts you should send to body hair to farting, pooping. Mm-hmm. The list is honestly endless. And so I thought it'd be a good, fun topic that's not quarantine related.
Yeah.
Or I guess it is kind of, depending if you are in a fresh relationship and you're lying.
If you are on day 21 of pretending that you don't poop.
Yes. But, yeah. So this is,
yeah,
this is part one. Next week we're going to do an episode. It's kind of a part two, but we're just going to be talking about like one specific thing that we think deserves a whole episode in and of itself.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Sit back, relax, think about the things that you haven't told someone on the second date because you think it's bad, and listen to those ads. We make money.
Woo.
It's funny because I didn't shave my legs.
Amazing.
In the shower for this episode.
Amazing.
I didn't shave my pits either. And they are
long. Pits are the one area that I do shave consistently because I'm like, I just feel gross. Because I'm just sweaty. Like, so I'd rather just like no air be there.
I think it does definitely soak up the smell a little more.
The hair?
Yeah. Huh. Like, I feel stinkier when I don't shave, which is weird. I don't know. I just also didn't feel like doing it because I was trying to take a quick shower so I could make dinner and then do this. And I was like, it doesn't fucking matter. I'm not leaving my house. That's my tale.
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about shaving. Let's talk
Cool.
about.
Guys, welcome back. It's been a whopping minute.
It's a long ass break.
In true Amanda fashion, I don't have definitions today, but I do have a history lesson, so you're welcome.
Thank goodness.
I titled this section Shaving is Dumb because it is.
Shaving is dumb.
I got most of this information from The Mic. There's an article called The Unusual and Deeply Sexist History of Women Removing Their Body Hair. And I felt like that was fitting with my, knee wound story. And this wasn't like a typical shave nick, like it was a like 3-inch long slice that like the
Oof.
water was running red.
I've done that on like the back of my leg. Rough.
So, and there's like a little scar now. And I'm like, I had to put band-aids on it, essentially. Like, it
Yeah.
was a mess. And my knee hurt, and I was not happy. But anyway, a brief history lesson from Amanda. So, from cave women to ancient Egypt, the history of
Wow.
shaving dates back thousands of years, which honestly surprised me. I felt like it was only a couple hundred years old, but no, apparently it is thousands of years.
I mean, making yourself pretty in weird and like not natural ways is as old as people are. Telling women to shave their body or like do certain things because they will never get married is
Yeah, and we were watching Vikings, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's a great show to anyone listening. It's
brash.
like Game of Thrones, but doesn't let you down in the same way. And it's from the History Channel, so the characters are actually not that it's entirely historically accurate, but it's based on real characters and real Vikings and things like that. So it's really cool. But I always just laugh because I'm like, why do the women not have leg hair? I'm like, these badass Viking women, you think they're gonna sit and whittle down a fucking stone to shave their legs? Probably not. So, anyway, but that's what they did. And so his, we're told that cavemen and cave women were like these hairy barbarians, but that is not the truth. In fact, most of them actually shaved almost all of their body hair, including the hair on their head, for safety, partly because it helped prevent frostbite. And the other part is that, you're not giving your enemy something to grab, specifically, obviously, the hair on your head. So oftentimes they would like full on just like whittle down fucking stones and just like, so obviously it was very painful. No wonder the lifespan was like 25. Because they would like shave with these fucking blunt ass stone pieces. So, yeah, well, that was pretty interesting. And then in ancient Egypt, you're welcome, shaving
Cute.
was a class signifier. And it wasn't until ancient Rome, which is not a surprise to anyone, that it became a gendered issue. So, much like Egypt, it was a signifier of class, but specifically for women during the ancient Roman Empire. So wealthy women removed all of their body hair, whilst men were free to do whatever they wanted, per usual. Pubic hair was seen as uncivilized, so it had to go.
I wonder if that's like kind of an equivalent to Chinese foot binding. So like foot binding existed to prove to other people that your women didn't have to work and they could have these tiny feet that hurt to walk on because you can't work if your feet hurt to walk on. And they were like aesthetic, but like the socioeconomic point was that they don't need to work. So I wonder if this was like, yes, we can afford razors for our women
But
and they can be as
it wasn't
bare as virgins.
razors though. It was still like whittled down pieces of shit. So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think it could be. It could also just mean like cleanliness because, I mean, obviously the wealthier people were able to like clean more often. And so, like, kind of like pale skin, I feel like. So it probably is all about, you know, whether or not it shows that. But I don't know how, like, pubic hair would I guess, yeah, you don't have time to shave if you're working all the time. But, yeah, I thought
it's trying to prevent crabs.
For real. Fucking gross. But, you know, the true feminist icon, Queen Elizabeth the First.
Oh, yes.
You know, she believed that while hair on your face should be trimmed, hair on your legs and pubes were fair game, baby. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Why? Because you're wearing 600 fucking layers of clothes. So no one's going to see it anyway. However, this was also the area of long forehead. The era of long foreheads, so like they would rub cat poo on young girls' heads to like stop hair growth. So,
ew.
Yeah, to make their forehead like that's why, like, yeah, I think it's just because Queen Elizabeth had a large forehead and probably was self conscious about it. So, she was like, it's the new thing,
she made it fashion
exactly because she could, because she's queen,
bad bitch.
Yeah, my
take what the universe has given you and work with it. That's what the lesson
also is. Queen Elizabeth the First is the daughter of Anne Boleyn and Henry the Eighth, so
she's the ginger one that is in like a bunch of Kate Blanchett and movies.
A bunch of them, you mean Kate Blanchett played her?
Yes.
And yeah, Queen Elizabeth just makes appearances in all Kate Blanchett movies.
Her ghost is in the background. It's
and
fine.
Margot Robbie actually recently played her in the like Mary Queen of Scots film with, yes, Saoirse Ronan. So
I'm a big fan of Liz.
Yes,
she's so, my other
Queen Elizabeth the First. She's cool. Her mom, Anne Boleyn, total badass. Henry VIII
was Natalie Portman in that one movie about King Henry VIII, the Boleyn girl.
Yes, and there's also the show The Tudors, where what's her face,
yes,
from Game of Thrones,
Marjorie Tyrell,
yes,
is in,
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, she plays Anne Boleyn. So, and she was also in Hunger Games. So, I mean, we're bringing it all the way around.
Right.
Anywho, in the 1700s and 1800s, women finally got a little bit of a break. So, straight razors and safety razors were developed, but they were advertised towards men. And it wasn't until the early 1900s that women were pressured into shaving those dang armpits. But that's because of, mm-hmm, you know, the good old roaring 20s, which was cool because, you know, first wave feminism. But women were also expected to shave the pitties because they were wearing,
yeah, so fun fact, dresses. As someone who studied advertising, fun fact, one of my professors in college was a consultant on Mad Men. Like,
whoa,
serious shit. Yeah. So they... what is it? The razor company, not Reynolds Wrap, because that's aluminum, but the razor company. They're like, how do we sell more razors, boys? And they're like, I don't know. Who do we sell them to? We already got all the men. Do we tell the men to shave more things? Nah, we're men. We're hairy. Well, what do we do? Well, if men are hairy, why are women hairy? And they basically, in talky voices like that, 100%, mm-hmm, just, it was black and white back then. Like, why don't we tell the woman to shave? Yeah, they have those short little dresses. They need to shave to their knees. And that's how women shaving their legs and shaving their armpits, and even down to like not being super hairy on your arms and other things, was really brought into the limelight. It was because they wanted to sell more razors and needed to open up a market. So they started shaming women into doing these things and telling them that they wouldn't get married. Listerine, specifically, while this isn't shaving, had a whole campaign about always a bridesmaid, never a bride. That phrase was popularized in a Listerine ad about a woman with stanky breath. I was like, you will never get married because your breath is so rancid. And unless you use Listerine, you will be single forever.
Oh my God.
And the history of advertising is incredible.
That is.
It's just full of assholes.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible. Gotta love it. It's also incredibly sexist, but who's surprised? No one.
Who's surprised?
So anyway, now we're skipping to the good old 1940s and World War II. So women began shaving their legs because nylon was on shortage due to the war. And
oh, no,
with those hairy ass legs, they weren't socially acceptable. So, and also the bikini was invented in 1946, like the 1946 version, mm-hmm, of a bikini, not like a 1980s version of a bikini. So women, right, were expected to trim down under as well. So Post World War II is known as a major setback for women, because it was the expect
for so
they
many
went
reasons.
yes for a lot of reasons. But during World War II, for those who might not know, a lot of women joined the workforce because all the men were drafted into the war, so they needed people on the home front, like, you know, working in the factories and things like that. So a lot of women finally started going to work, and kind of had liberation in that way. And then once World War II was over and all the men came back, it was kind of like, okay, return to being a housewife, return to your homely duties. And so it was like that. And I think they went like hard in the paint because it was like they had to beat the women into submission, like literally and figuratively. So they were expected to return to the home and be silent and be doting housewives and all that bullshit.
The idealization of the 50s nuclear family with the mom that makes lunches in the morning and wears a dress and has lipstick that matches her fingernails is built to make sure that women go back to the home and that there is a man earning their keep for them. Because if the man didn't have a job, well, what is he to do? And he's unmanly. The woman can't have a job and the man comes home and then doesn't have a job. We need to fix this. And that also displaced a lot of workers of color in general. But the like nuclear white family stereotype exists to remind women where they belong.
Precisely. And so it was incredibly harsh with toxic masculinity and incredibly harsh with sexism. So overall, really great. 10 out of 10, would not recommend. And then we move right along to the 1960s and 70s where, you know, they were the time of the serial killers, but also Bushes. So the coochie got a break, my friends. But then the
19... I was confused for a second because I was like, George Bush Sr. wasn't president until like the 90s.
Yes, no. I'm talking about your pubic hair, the Bush.
Pubic hair.
So yeah, that was like the liberation of body hair. Cause that was like,
oh yeah,
second or third. That was like,
just sex noises. Love it. And sex music. Yep.
Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Yes. That's the whole segment.
But then the 1980s happened, and although they had phenomenal music and colors, it was also super sexist, racist, homophobic, all that fun stuff. And also the wave of Brazilians began. So it was deemed unclean to not be barren and look like a 12-year-old. And even today, I think that many people still believe that. I think fortunately with fourth wave feminism, you know, people are reclaiming their bodies just as they like deconstruct gender as a binary. And so that's really helping with body hair. And people are becoming less obsessed with it. But, you know, when I was younger, I was made fun of for body hair. In fact, in fifth grade, I was called a hairy armpit by a classmate. And then I called him out in the weekly circle of friends. Like I fucking chewed him out. And it was an iconic moment literally throughout like high school. This happened in fifth grade.
Baby Amanda.
And he still hated me. He probably still hates me today. I don't know. I don't really care. But, you know, because of being bullied, it was an iconic moment at Meadow Ridge, let me tell you. I made my mom teach me how to shave when I was 8 years old because I was, like, bullied so much because I'm pale with black, brown, thick hair. And so, I mean... Mm-hmm. What do you expect? Like my legs and arms to be fucking blonde? Like obviously that was not the case. And it's funny now because I've been shaving, like I shave my arms just because I've been doing it forever and I kind of like it, especially with like my tattoos and stuff. But I like didn't shave them for a while and also same with my legs. And I was like, fuck, I don't really have that much like body hair. And as a child, I felt like I looked like a gorilla.
You know, I shaved my arms for a little bit, like, in college because it was, like, very thick. Or maybe it was high school, like, very thick. And I feel like it just hasn't grown back.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much thinner or it's non-existent at all.
It's, like, super thin. I used to also, like, bleach my arm hair, too, which is, like, fucking terrible.
Oh, my God.
I was so self-conscious about it, about body hair. And then... You know, especially when it came to like puberty and things like that, like I started shaving obviously down there as well. And I don't know when, but I was just like, I think it was as I was like learning about feminism and stuff like that. And I was like, fuck this. Because to me, like, I don't like the idea of having nothing down there. It makes me feel very childish. And then when it starts to grow in, it's super itchy. And I'm like, I ain't trying to be scratching myself in public. Like I've got a fucking yeast infection or some shit. And so it was just all fucked. And so today at roughly 25, you know, I shave my legs when I want. I do whatever I want with my body. Why? Because it's my body and I literally don't do anything to please anyone else, especially men. And when it comes to dating and shaving, you know, over the years, I've kind of refined my dating life to be quote unquote particular in that I only date people who are feminist or informed and not assholes about gender roles and dating taboos because, like, I don't have fucking time for that. And that's not part of, like, my life philosophy. And I've dated, like, asshole, shitty fucking Catholic boys who use their fucking internalized issues with Catholicism and project it onto me. And I ain't got fucking time for that shit anymore. And so when it comes to dating taboos, specifically shaving, you know, it's really freeing to not be bound to these fucking rules. Like, I will shave whatever I want, whenever I want. The other day, I actually joked with him because we were, like, you know, getting hot and heavy, as you do, in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, don't mind the hairy armpits. And he was like, literally don't care. And it was amazing. And I was like, yeah. I'm self-conscious about it just because, like, I don't want hairy, like, I don't like having hairy armpits, and that's just my preference. If you like your armpits to be free and natural, good for you. But, you know, it's really freeing not to feel so bound by these, like, dating rules and dating taboos, because at the end of the day, they're really stupid. And when you look past them, like, you can finally live a life that you want versus one that you think or are told that you need to have. And I think shaving, it's kind of become deconstructed over time. I think especially when I was in, like, junior high and high school and middle school and all that stuff, you know, growing up, it was a lot more like, oh my God, you're a girl and you have hair outside of the hair on your head. That's a crime.
Yeah, I feel like the 2000s especially were weird about, like, women not being babies. Yeah.
And so I felt
like we grew up in a time where you were expected to be hairless because babies were hot.
Yeah, it was like a lot of infantilization, like baby doll dresses and shit like that. And so, and in many ways, like, I'm sure that still exists, but, you know, I think it's important to talk about because so many women are like, yeah, you know, it's so nice when you're in a relationship after a long time and you don't have to shave before the first date or before a date or whatever. And I'm like, fuck, they're lucky.
You don't have to do shit.
Yeah, I'm like, who fucking cares? If it's winter, I'm going to shave my legs once a week, maybe. And that's just the ankles because I'm wearing higher jeans. Like, you know, like, I'm shaving whatever's going to be shown in jeans, maybe.
Have you ever shaved just to match up with your, like, holes in your jeans?
No, because I don't really wear jeans with holes in them. But I've heard that's a thing. But I literally had my leg hair so long that when I wore tights, it was, like, coming out of them. And I just laughed.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens.
But, like, I full-on just, like, don't shave the upper half of my legs except when I'm feeling, like, frisky. Not even frisky. When I'm just, like, I want to do something nice for myself, I just shave my legs and then I just, like, slather it down with, like, fancy lotion. And I'm like,
yeah. Like, there's a whole if I'm shaving, like, fully shaving, there's a whole exfoliation process. And it's going to be baby fucking soft, but not in, like, an infantilization way. It's just going to be, like, super goddamn smooth because I want to be super goddamn smooth.
Yeah.
Because God knows, like, the number of times I've found my boyfriend's chest hair in my mouth. Yeah. So, if he can be that hairy, I don't have to shave my legs.
And, like, I think it's,
like, if it was ever an argument, it's not.
I think if you're dating someone that is that obsessed with your, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm attracted to these things. Like, oh, I like when you wear, like, this outfit. Like, it looks good. But it's another thing to be so, like, you need to do this or you need to do that. Or if someone makes you feel like if you have the smallest amount of hair outside of the hair on your head that you are, like, gross. Well, fucking.
If you take someone home for the first time and they're weird about your body hair. that's a red flag and you need to have them leave.
Like, when you turn 40, not when you turn 40, when you're middle age and you've got fucking chin hairs growing because your estrogen is depleting, like, you want someone who's going to just, like, help you pluck out those fucking chin hairs. Not someone that's going to be mm-hmm. feeling shit about it. So, that's mm-hmm. that on that. All I'm saying is that shaving's stupid because you end up just slicing your leg. So, ain't nobody got time for it. Yeah. And that's the tea or the wine. And speaking of,
that's
pretend you're in a magical Quince tropical time. Land once more. Ooh, that's my fancy aerator.
There's the palm trees. There's Pedro, the cool boy. He's pouring you another drink.
There you go.
Thank you, Pedro. Can you make sure the sun isn't shining on me so directly, but it is shining on me? No, I'm going to go talk to these 7 people over here because I can.
Oh, yes. Love it.
Yes. These are our happy places. Coincidentally, I'm talking about blood, too. But in a different way. So,
murder.
Amanda and I go back and forth, guys, in picking these episode topics most of the time. And so she's like, taboos. And I was like, okay. I will look up taboo. And that's why I know the origin of the word taboo. But there's a lot to choose from, and I do want to talk about one in particular that has to do with blood, and that's good and gnarly period sex, because I feel like we're right on the edge of it not being a taboo, and when I hear from people and I hear about their issues with it, and while I understand all but one issue is, and that's if you like can't do blood and you pass out at the sight of blood. But here's where we get to a good old 50 worst dates story time. We haven't told a tale from our personal vaults in a second. And I'm so excited that this topic brought that up, like, viscerally into my memory. Now, long ago, in college, when you could leave the house and talk to other people, there was a boy. And a boy, this boy, has been discussed as the subject of some of my more traumatic discussions on this show, but it's fine. This is one of the least traumatic, albeit still hilarious and weird and full of blood. And this was at the beginning of our traumatic dalliance, and it's truly barely anything in comparison to the rest of it. But alas. He lived in a frat house. It was a shithole. It was one faulty wire away from killing everyone in a fire. And one time he texted me that there were coons in his room, and he wasn't a very nice boy, so I genuinely assumed he meant black people, because that's just something he would have said. And no, he had to beat back a raccoon that had climbed into their window, into their bedroom with a badminton racket, and then rush it down the stairs. They lived on the 3rd floor. Where did the raccoon go? He didn't know. But that is the kind of shithole I'm trying to paint a picture of for you. It's the shithole I lost my virginity in. It's a shithole that has since been torn down, and I watched it get torn down, and honestly, good fucking riddance. But I was blinded by that dick, probably because it was my first dick. And he, being that person, was my intro to dudes and their weirdness about period sex. And since then, I've dated plenty of people. Everybody kind of has their own way of handling it. And it's mostly, well, it's kind of gross. And in my younger years especially, it's kind of gross. That's blowjob week. Blah, 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 blah. And now that I'm older and I exclusively date men over the age of 25, it's way less weird. And they're just like, still want a bone. But alas, I expected this particular boy in this particular shitty frat house to be weird about it. And he was a little at first. Until one day he just really gave up on waiting most of the way through my period. Mostly done. Back 2 days where you feel safe about it. Maybe put a towel down. and he ripped a tampon out of me, threw it across the room towards where his roommate slept, and we fucked on a white leather couch.
That's kind of gross. It's very like Edward Cullen-y, and I don't like it.
It was pretty gross. The flicking of it across the bedroom, somewhere in, did they call it the pig pen, the pig's nest, something with pigs, where they burnt candles that were literally called Man Town by Yankee Candle, flicked it across the room. And we fucked on this white leather couch. And this white leather couch had an appropriate backstory. This was the leather couch that some older dudes in the frat had, quote, and I will never forget this statement for as long as I fucking live, tag-teamed a girl on her period until it looked like a murder scene. So the couch could clearly handle it. The couch had seen this girl tag-teamed by two brothers, which, what? Were they holding hands while they did it? What kind of brotherhood is that? Where you tag team a where you have a threesome with a girl on her period over someone's mom's basement couch. So he believed that this couch could handle whatever I could produce, and we didn't expect it to be anything. And he believed that he could handle it. Just a spry engineering student, ready for anything. Until it looked like I was being murdered. It was truly the flow and consistency of a battle wound. Just dripping out thick, dark blood. The kind of blood that would send a Viking to Valhalla. And then we stopped. And he was done with period sex for as long as I knew him. At least with me. Which is forever. And so I can't understand if you've had a dramatic experience. But very often I feel like that's not the case. And first of all, for him, I was the one losing blood. Thank you. I'm the one who's not really good with blood. I don't like getting shots. I don't like getting my blood taken. I don't like watching it. I don't want to look at it. But like, it was kind of gross, but like, it wasn't that bad. And I think people, for that reason, do carry a lot of overwhelming weirdness about good old period sex. Because, and that's dumb, because, you know, it's the sex that's supposed to help cramps and alleviate mood swings and, like, help you. And I think it's a lot about the patriarchy, which then means a lot about religion. And I do have some history, anthropological research to back that shit up. Amanda, we both did history lessons today. Oh my God. According to Dr. Terry Foran, a sexual health physician from the School of Women's Health at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia, in pre-Judaic times, women were often isolated to a red tent during their periods and prevented from doing many activities, including engaging with insects. The isolation occurred because it was believed that the menstrual blood would, quote, sap their husband's sexual power. Dr. Foran adds that this tradition has little medical basis and is only an aesthetic choice. Having sex during this time harms neither partner, although there is an increased risk of transmitting hepatitis B, C, or HIV through menstrual blood, as if the woman is a carrier. And looking back onto my Catholic education, periods are very often proposed as the curse women are handed down from, or rather, women are handed this curse down from Eve because she took that fucking fruit, you know, a fruit full of knowledge that she was told by some dude in the sky not to eat. I'd be like, fuck you, dude in the sky. I have no power here. I'd like some fucking knowledge. Thank you. You made me out of this guy's rib. That's rude. I'm my own fucking person, dad. And so she upset the balance and got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden, if you remember your biblical verses, which I fucking don't. So, and with that, blood, period blood, blood means dying. Dying means you aren't power anymore, which is bad. But those who can bleed without dying must be crazy and must be strong and must be better than you and must be subjugated because clearly they're more powerful than you realize. And so my deep, dark theory is that men don't like periods because we bleed without dying and they can't do that. Fuck yeah.
Because men ain't shit.
Because men ain't shit. So if your partner in particular is a man, they won't fuck you if you're on your period. They're either really afraid of blood or afraid of your power. Dump them probably. If they're afraid of blood, we might have some special dispensation. But if they're afraid of your power, fuck them. I've also been watching a lot of Eliza Schlesinger during quarantine. I'm feeling her power. But with period sex, I also wanted to bring it into a Bustle article in case we didn't cover something that you wanted to hear about. If you're like, oh my God, do I tell this guy about this thing? Is it weird that we don't do this thing? Is it weird? Is it weird? Is it weird? If you're like that and you're sitting there listening to us and you're worried, I have an article called 13 Taboo Things That Can Actually Improve Your Relationship from Bustle. Ba-ba-da-ba! Woo! Picked out some of my faves.
Beautiful.
It can benefit your relationship to sleep in separate beds. That's cool.
Like it's the 1950s?
You know, like I love Lucy and shit. You know, Lucy probably got some good night fucking sleep.
Yeah.
And if you think that getting a good night's rest will make you a better partner or will make you less grumpy, or like I steal all the blankets, it might just be easier to sleep in separate beds. Or it's cool to go home and not have to sleep over all the time. You can go sleep in your own bed or in your own apartment where you pay rent. It's not a sign that you're weak or like your relationship isn't strong. It's a sign that you value the fact that you pay rent. Going out and socializing separately, it can be good for your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinct balance there. If you see someone's partner, if you never see someone's partner, it's weird. But if they're like a united unit of unitdom, it's also super annoying. So like you have to find a balance here. But if you don't exist without your partner, including in social situations with like literally everyone, like I don't want my boyfriend going and hanging out with my coworkers at like a work happy hour. He doesn't need to be there. That's fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
When people's significant others show up at work things, I find it weird. I don't want to meet your significant other. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. It's weird. We had to like babysit this one girl's boyfriend at a Christmas party. I didn't like it.
Mm.
Having different hobbies is good for your relationship. I do art stuff. I do this podcast. I do lots of things. And I'm literally building a miniature greenhouse. I have a bunch of weird hobbies made for old people. My boyfriend is literally a Dungeons and Dragons dungeon master. We have wildly different things in our lives. And I've played Dungeons and Dragons. It's really fucking fun. Don't make fun of it. If you make fun of it, you're the goddamn nerd because you're missing out on a great time. But like, it's not a thing that I do every week. It's not my thing. And that's totally fine. It's totally fucking cool. Keeping a few secrets. I know we've talked about this of like, you should be totally honest with your partner. And it's so good to be honest with someone. Keeping a few secrets from your partner is not a bad thing. And it can be good, healthy for your relationship. You know, like if you ate your twin in the womb, maybe they don't need to know that. It's okay. Your partner doesn't need to know everything about you. If you're like actively keeping a secret from them about something bad that you did, if you like murdered your twin instead of eating them in the womb, maybe tell them. Like you should really reflect on like, how does this person truly know me if they don't know something? Mm-hmm. But if it's like, you really don't like when they cook that one thing and it's only okay, it's not super good, it doesn't matter. Keep that secret. Lightly lie to them. It's fine. It's totally fine. Like, don't, yeah, yeah, yeah. My boyfriend doesn't know that I get really seasick on boats sometimes, and he loves boats. I've never told him that I get seasick. And in the long run, we could go on a boat together, but that opportunity has not remotely presented itself. So until that day, I'm never gonna be seasick in a boat.
Proud of you.
Going on vacation without your significant other is not weird. I hate you. So apparently, there was another podcast that dropped today for bachelor people. I don't even know which one it is. I was just getting sent videos about it, and people were like discussing the points in a text message I was in. I don't watch The Bachelor. I know that Peter was the guy this past season. He's a dick. He just wants to get his dick sucked. Let him. Let him. But there was a girl at the very end who was like saving so many things for marriage, but she wasn't totally upfront about how many things, I think. So they discussed it on the podcast that she was even saving like traveling with a man for her husband. She would only travel with a man unless they were getting married. Which is insane. Veritably insane. Are you telling me you are not going to witness a man on a plane or how they handle themselves at the airport before you marry them? Terrible decision. You need to see this person under proper pressure. You need to see if they're nice to the flight attendants. All of these are essentials. But going on a trip with your significant other, great. Go you. Going on every trip with your significant other instead of going on a girl's trip or going on a boy's vacation or like going as a group to things. Super fucking weird. Don't do it. Experimenting in sex is a taboo that doesn't fucking matter. Like, I don't even know what to tell you. Amanda, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
I'm just on a roll. Yeah, experiment with that sex. Do whatever the fuck you want, kids. It doesn't matter. And if you're with a partner that you feel like you can't be like, I want you to do this weird thing. I want you to wear rubber boots and have them squeak as you fuck me. If you can't be totally honest with your partner that you want that, you're never going to get that. So why are you with that person? Also, if you have a rubber boot kink, tell me. I guess your kink. That was improv. Improv. Taboos that are okay. Emotions. Men having emotions specifically. You know, if your boyfriend cries, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to tell you that that's not fine. Why are you such a psycho?
I made men cry like 3 times in like 1 week. All happy tears, but still I was like, whoa.
Like, if you can't cry together or cry in front of someone or like be emotional with a person that you expect to like have a future with, like you don't have a future with them. Mm-hmm. You can't operate in a world where you don't have emotions or you don't have big emotions or you don't have a certain emotion. So it's never going to work for you if you don't throw that shit out the window. Mm-hmm. Let your boyfriend cry. Stop being a bitch. And lastly, I think in Rona times, this is especially pertinent. You know, there's this girl at work. And I know I haven't been at work in like a month, but like she's still there. We still work together. And she's like a recent grad and she went to school in like East Coast somewhere. And her boyfriend was local. He still lives there. He lives in like Bumblefuck, Vermont or something. And she goes and visits him all the time. And it's a whole trip to go visit him because it's a tiny airport and there's still a drive and it's crazy stuff. And like he wants to move here, but like, has he made the effort, sweetheart? No. But everyone at work is really weird about her being in this long-term relationship. And, like, even I was in a long-distance relationship working at the same company, and my boss at the time, her boss now, like, would get, like, well, when are they going to move here? And are you going to marry them? And are you going to move there? Please explain the mechanics of your relationship. And though it doesn't fit society's mold, how do you expect it to fit society's mold, because I, a stranger, can give you my opinion on whether or not I think it will work. And it's really crazy. Like, even like, I also have a huge issue with professional people asking me weird questions. One of my coworkers asked me if my boyfriend was marriage material, and I was like, I'm 24. Calm down. But this girl does not get why I do not care about her long-distance relationship and haven't put my 2 cents in. She's, like, really, I don't know if she's appreciative about it or, like, weird. She's like, oh, she's, like, doesn't care about this. And I was like, it's not my fucking business. It's nobody's fucking business for you to validate why you're in a long-distance relationship with someone. Currently, if you aren't quarantining with someone, you aren't a long-distance relationship. It takes a while to get there. It's long distance. Whatever. But if you want to do that, that's your fucking prerogative, man. Long-distance relationships are cool because you get to travel places and do things, and everything is pretty much like a vacation. And I know the entire city of Washington, D.C. for that reason. That's a nice thing that I have. But it's nobody's business for you to explain the mechanics of your relationship and fit it into their mold. If it doesn't fit a mold, who the fuck cares? Break the mold. Do what you want. Be a slut. Do what you want.
Precisely. That's the motto of 2020.
2020 motto, be a slut. Do what you want. That's be a slut for anything you want to do.
Yes.
If you want to get a promotion, be a slut. Do what you want.
Precisely.
Be a slut for that promotion. If you want to start a business, be a slut for small business loans. All right, Amanda.
Yeah.
Did you get any good worst date tales? Any listener mails?
I did not this week, no. But I think we covered quite a bit.
I think we did. I think we said many things.
I don't think anyone's having worst dates right now because it's quarantine.
This is really true. Or you're having... I ventured to my boyfriend's house, and he has a roommate, and said roommate had a real life date in quarantine. He brought a girl into the house.
Oh.
And I think it was partially because I came over and he's like, well, you didn't have a girl over. I didn't have a girl over. And we were like,
all bad.
Dude, you know me. I'm here all the time. And so we can all have opinions on that behavior.
That was just bad.
But they had gone on 2 virtual dates and FaceTime for like hours. And then she was there. I got there around like 4. She came over like an hour or two later and didn't leave until like after midnight.
Nice.
I think they had a good time. Good. Actually, I know they had a good time.
Well,
yeah. So people are dating and apparently having good dates.
Yep.
In the quarantine now.
If you are, let us know. Katie, what's your happy ending this week?
Oh my God. I just made the best dinner. Like, unbelievably good dinner. And it was a Lily K's TM recipe.
Nice.
From our dear friend Lily. And mostly that she found on someone else's blog and then sent to me. But it's really good. Nice. And it was lemon chicken. And I feel like I can actually, I feel like a real adult making it. It involved vermouth.
Wow. Fancy.
Like, it's pan-seared and involved vermouth and a whole lemon. So I feel like I really did the dang thing. And I'm very adult, and I have, actually, it didn't involve a whole lemon. It involved a quarter of a lemon because I made 1 chicken. And then I'm going to use the other chunks of the lemon to make more of it. And probably some lemon martinis because that's pretty much all the alcohol stuff I have. I only have martini stuff.
Nice.
But that and the Eliza Schlesinger sketch show is on Netflix, and it is truly incredible.
Oh, I was watching a new thing on Netflix?
It's a full sketch show. So it is episodes.
Amazing.
And it is like crazy shit you'd binge on Netflix. It's just spoofs of that. So there's like female Jackass where they do like emotionally horrible things to themselves.
Wow.
And there's a bunch of weird QVC things. And like it is very cerebral. And I love it.
Nice. Well,
what's your happy ending?
My happy ending is that I got more wine.
What's it gonna be?
I got more wine and it's delicious. And I'm
hooray.
I also Oh, my student loans got suspended, so that's nice.
Hooray!
You know, some people might tell me to continue paying off my loans, but you all can fuck off because I want to save that $300 a month and put it in my savings account.
Put that shit in your savings account.
And pay off my credit
card. When else would you get this opportunity? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's 6 months, no interest. Like, it's still going to fucking be there anyway, even if I paid it off for the 6 months. So.
Yeah.
I might not do the whole 6 months, but still. I'm like, this is nice. I don't have to pay student loans for 6 months. When is this going to happen again? Never.
Never. Do that shit. Hell yeah. So, it's $1,800.
Boom. It's beautiful.
Actually, that's more. I don't know. I don't know how to do math. If you know how to do math, DM us. I also ordered a couch, which I'm really excited about.
Well.
Yeah, let's not steal.
If you would like to submit your own worst date, quarantine style, horror story, sex mishap, dating taboo, or boner blunder, feel free to submit named or anonymous stories to 50worstdatespodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs at 50worstdatespod on Instagram. If you think we're valid sources of advice and want to ask questions, we will happily take those emails and DMs too. Our goal is to base future episodes after stories that are not our own, as we are both, you know, stuck in quarantine and both in relationships. So, yay. If you love our music, it's from bensound.com. And if you love our cover art, it is by Tori Scranton. You can find her at T Scranton Art on Instagram and Etsy.
Heck yeah.
Otherwise, stay safe, practice social distancing, wear a mask in public, and masturbate.
And be a slut. Do what you want.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye, kids.